This recording features Rabbi Ralph Pelkovitz, Rabbi Emeritus of Congregation Knesset Yisrael in West Lawrence, New York. This presentation was delivered at a Tisha B'Av gathering in 1994 at Congregation Knesset Yisrael. The theme is Jerusalem Above and Jerusalem Below.
I think Yerushalayim is something that concerns all of us. Yerushalayim has a mystical kind of a claim on our hearts and souls, and especially when we consider that in today's political arena, Yerushalayim certainly is on the agenda, very much so on the agenda. And the fact that Yerushalayim is a city that all the religions of the world identify with, and certainly that we are not the only people that can lay claim to Yerushalayim as being our city, although we believe that it is. But nonetheless, we know that Yerushalayim is going to be on the political agenda for quite a while. And I therefore felt that on Tisha B'Av, when we read the words in Echa, of Echa Yoshua Vodo to Ira Bosi Om, and Hoysa Ka'amona, and we lament, and we weep, and we cry in through the words of Yirmiyahu for the city of Yerushalayim, so it's important that we understand, or try to understand, what is it, this mystical hold that Yerushalayim has on us. Certainly the Yerushalayim of today, of the year Tavshin Nun Dalet, is not the same as the Yerushalayim that Yirmiyahu HaNavi writes about in his Sefer of Megillas Eicha. But nonetheless, when we use the expression that Chet Chato Yerushalayim, that we say and we lament that Yerushalayim has sinned, so we have to ask ourselves whether there aren't certain sins today as well which can be attached to Yerushalayim. But at the same time, we also know that the Chachamim in the Masechta Megillah were very careful not to allow any kind of a haftorah to be read that would speak detrimentally and would be disparaging of Yerushalayim, which is the reason why certain haftorahs are chosen and certain haftorahs are not chosen. There is a very interesting quotation I'd like to begin with. It's taken from a Masechta Derech Eretz. There are what we call the Masechtas Ketanos, small Masechtas. One of the Masechtas that is quoted very, very often in the Baalei Tosfos especially is Masechtas Sofrim. Because in Masechtas Sofrim, you have a lot of halachos which we live by. And the only mocker that we can find is from Masechtas Sofrim, which literally means the tractate of scribes. But there's also a Masechta called Masechta Derech Eretz. And there's a Masechta Derech Eretz, and then there's another one called Masechta Derech Eretz Zuta. And the quote that I give you now is from Masechta Derech Eretz Zuta. And the quote is as follows. It says, the world is compared to a human eyeball, like the eyeball of a human being. The white of the eye is the ocean surrounding the world. And the iris is this continent. In this case, it means the continent of Asia Minor. The pupil is Yerushalayim. And the image in the pupil is the Beis HaMikdash, is the Holy Temple. That's what the Cheret Zuta says. But it really is not something new that we see in this particular quote, because in many places in Chazal we find that we, Am Yisrael, are also compared to an eye, in the sense that Rabbeinu Shlomo says that just as is true, if a person is attacked and if you aim for his eye, so he will defend himself with any other limb of his body in order to protect his eye, so Chazal tell us that Rabbeinu Shlomo says I'm Yisrael, my people, they are like an eye. And therefore, if you will attack them, if you will try to harm them, then I will protect them. And in this case, we say Yerushalayim is really the eye. Although the entire world is the eye, but Yerushalayim is the image and the pupil of the eye. And from whence does Yerushalayim draw its Kedusha? Primarily, it draws its Kedusha from the Beis HaMikdash. True, there is a Mishnah in Kalim, and the Mishnah in Kalim says that there are 10 levels of Kedusha, and there are 10 levels of Kedusha speaking geographically, and it says that Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, I should say, the land of Israel, is one of the 10 holy places on the face of the earth. It is actually the holy place on the face of the earth. We call it the Holy Land. And then it has gradations and degrees in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and of course the city being Yerushalayim, and then we go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash we go to the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash, from the Azora to the Kodesh, from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that is what the Mishnah in Kalim talks about regarding Kedusha. Yerushalayim, therefore, is called Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It is called Yerushalayim, the holy city. Historically, when do we find in the Torah, the Chumash, and we certainly find in Tanakh, and it's been counted, so it's always nice to give you a figure, which if you want to contradict me, you'd have to go back and count it yourself as well. But anyway, there's a figure that is given that Yerushalayim is mentioned 656 times in Tanakh. 656 times. As opposed to the Koran, where I think Jerusalem is only mentioned maybe 2 or 3 times. So much for the prominence and the importance of Yerushalayim to the Muslims, as opposed to Yerushalayim and its importance to the Am Yisrael. If you look in the Chumash, there you see the beginnings of this city. The beginnings of this city is when we find that Avraham Avinu was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring his son to the Akedah, Yitzchak. And so he brought him to the Akedah, and tradition tells us that the place where he brought him was Har HaMoriah. It was the mountain of Moriah. And there on the mountain of Moriah, he was willing to sacrifice his son Yitzchak. When the Rabbeinu Shlomim intervenes, and he says, Al tishlach yotcha el anar, he says, do not slaughter your son, because I never meant for you to do that. Haleo la'ola, all I wanted you to do was to bring him as an offering, and that you did. You withstood the test, the 10 nisyonos, the 10 trials and the 10 tests, to which Avraham Avinu was subjected, this being the climax, where he is willing even to sacrifice his son Yitzchak. So he gives a name to that particular place. And the name that he gives to that place is the name of Yiroh, or Ro'o, because he says, Bahar Hashem Yiroh. However, there was a name that had already been given to that particular shetach, to that particular area. And that story is the story that is told before the story of the Akedah in the Torah. And that is when Avraham Avinu engages in the battle with the Molochim, with the kings, and he is victorious. And then it says he comes to the city, and there he meets the king of the city. And the king is called Melech Sholem. Melech Sholem. And that king, the king of Sholem, according to tradition, although the Torah tells us his name is Malki Tzedek, but according to tradition, that was Shem ben Noach. That was the son of Noach. And so actually, if that was the son of Noach, Shem ben Noach, so this was his great-great-great-grandfather, because Avraham, of course, is descended from Sholem, from Shem, and therefore he is a great-great-great-great-grandson of this man. Well, Chazal say, what are we going to do? The Rabbeinu Shlomim had, as it were, a problem. What name should we give to this city? Should we call it Yirah or Ro'o? Because Avram Avinu gave it that name. But then again, Shem ben Noach had already given it a name, and he called it Sholem. On the other hand, should we call it Sholem? But we cannot ignore Avram Avinu. And therefore, we will combine the two things together. So we combine together the name of Yirah, the name of Sholem, and we put it together and we have the name of Yerushalayim. Now, if we look, however, at the origin of the name, so we realize that in this name of Yerushalayim, you have a dual kind of a character of this city. Yirah means awe or reverence. And indeed, it was a place of Mesiras Nefesh. It was a place of ultimate service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where a man is willing and prepared to sacrifice his own son to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Yirah part. The Sholem part is to be understood, in a twofold way. Sholem meaning perfection, something that is complete, but Sholem also meaning Shalom, meaning that which is peace. And so it means that there has to be harmony, and that there is harmony, that there is balance. There is the Yirah and there is the Sholem. And therefore, the name of the city is Yerushalayim. Sometimes, however, in order to get a deeper feeling and a more profound feeling of what the significance of a name is and what the significance of a city is, you have to sometimes go beyond the tuf of Tanakh, meaning of Torah, and you have to go into Nevi'im and you have to go into Ksuvim. And in Ksuvim, of course, There we find that David HaMelech is entranced with the city of Yerushalayim. And David HaMelech is almost like infatuated with the city of Yerushalayim. And he's constantly using expressions where he talks about Yerushalayim. And one of the most beautiful talking where he talks about Yerushalayim is the Perek Kufchav Beis, where there he says, "Under soyu raglenu b'shorayach Yerushalayim." Now, how do you understand that pasuk? "Under soyu raglenu" means our feet stood still, couldn't move. Where? B'shorayach Yerushalayim, in the gates of Yerushalayim. And so the Mefarshim say that our feet stood still at the gates of Yerushalayim because we were transfixed. When a person comes to Yerushalayim, he's transfixed by the view of the city, by the view of the city. I remember once being with somebody who was seeing Yerushalayim for the very first time. And as we approached Yerushalayim in a sherut, they were mamish speechless. And they looked and they looked. And this person said to me, "Why didn't you tell me what it was going to be like, so I should be prepared?" First time you see Yerushalayim, it's a special feeling. We go to Yerushalayim, many of us, very often. And so it becomes almost a little stale, but it shouldn't be. On a Monday morning, tomorrow, we'll say the Shir Shel Yom, and we will say that Kapitel Tehillim that talks about Yerushalayim. And there we will say, "Yefei noif, meseis kol haaretz." Yefei noif. In other words, the view, the scenery, the physical appearance of Yerushalayim is so and so unusual. I saw a kabin, 10 measures of beauty were given to the world. 9 of the 10 were taken by Yerushalayim. But then David HaMelech goes on to say, "Yerushalayim habenuya ki'ir shechubu layachta." He says, Yerushalayim that is built, the upbuilt Yerushalayim, is like a city shechubu layachta. It is a city that has been joined together. Many pshatim are given as to what the meaning of the word chubu layachta means. But perhaps, based upon what we just said, that Avraham Avinu called it Yirah, and Shem ben Noach called it Sholem, and we put the two together, and there you have the concept, the idea of piety, of Yirah, of awe and reverence for Hashem, coupled with a sense of shlemus, of completion in the physical material sense, the beauty of which I just spoke. So that could be chubla yachda. Not often do you have a combination of the material and the spiritual, of the physical and of the ruchnius. It's not very often. And here you have the chubla. You have it combined together, the two together. And therefore it's chubla yachda. But it could go even beyond that. It could be beyond that because in the sense that if Avraham Avinu called it Yira, it was because of the concept of the Akedah. And therefore Akedah means Mesiras Nefesh. And Yerushalayim somehow demands of people their commitment should be so total and so complete that it isn't the city that you can simply say, it's a nice city. I like this city. It's a beautiful city. But it's a city that you have to be prepared to be committed to, Beleva B'Nefesh. Because it goes back to the Akedah. It goes back to the time of an Avraham Avinu. But also it's the Sholem, which means there's perfection and completeness, non-fragmentation, as well as peace and harmony. That's why to us is Yerushalayim HaShlema, in other words, the complete Yerushalayim, is so important, because it is Sholem. And if you're going to tear it into two parts or three parts or four parts, then it loses its characteristic as a Sholem, which is half of its name. But it's not only that alone. There is a Gemara that tells us that the Rabbeinu Shlom took a Shvuah. And the Shvuah that the Rabbeinu Shlom took was the following. He said, I will not enter Yerushalayim Shalmala until I can enter the Yerushalayim Shalmata. What other city on the face of the earth has this duality? Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata. In other words, it's like a mirror. It's a reflection. Yerushalayim here on earth is the reflection of the Yerushalayim up in heaven. And Yerushalayim up in heaven is called Yerushalayim Shalmala. This Yerushalayim that we know is called Yerushalayim Shalmata. But you have to combine the two together. If you don't link the two together, then Yerushalayim Shalmata loses its character. The only way there can be a character of Yerushalayim Shalmata is if it is chubra yachta, it has to be mechubah, it has to be linked, and it has to be combined, and it has to be attached to the Yerushalayim Shalmala. In other words, in Yerushalayim there has to be a striving upward, upward. But that doesn't mean that it precludes an expansion outward. On the contrary, the expansion outward is something that our Chachamim were very sensitive to, and they were very, very cognizant of. There is a Gemara in Bava Basra, which is a fascinating Gemara. And the Gemara there in Bava Basra is based upon a pasuk in Zechariah, where Zechariah, great Novi Zechariah, on Tisha B'Av you should know, that even though there are only certain things that we're allowed to learn, and there's only certain Nevi'im that we are allowed to learn, and Zechariah is not mentioned, so I think the trouble is because the Sefer of Zechariah is too much of a Nechama. It's filled with comfort and with condolence, and it's filled with the strengthening of our spirit. And therefore, the first part of the day, for sure, we are not going to look at Psukim and Zechariah. But we can allow ourselves, since we are talking about Yerushalayim, which is so much part of Tisha B'Av, to look at this particular pasuk and see how it is interpreted by our Chazal in Masechta Bava Basra. Because in one of the visions, and he has visions, Zechariah, so in one of the visions, it says, V'esa eini, it says, I lifted up my eyes, and I looked and I saw, I saw a man with a measuring stick in his hand. It's measuring. So Ba'omar, so I said to the Rabbeinu Shlalom, I don't understand this. So I walked over to this ish and I said to him, where are you going? And so the answer that he gave to me was, Lo Moides Yerushalayim. I'm going to measure Yerushalayim. Lirois Kama Rochbo V'Kama Orka. Mind you, see, this is not a link between the Yerushalayim Shlamata and the Yerushalayim Shlamala. We're talking about Yerushalayim right here on earth. Physical, material, real. He says, I want to see how wide it is, and I want to see how long it is. The length and the breadth of Yerushalayim. You and I know that if we were to take measurements of the length and the breadth of Yerushalayim, let us say, in the early part, let's say, of this century, the early 1900s, you won't get too tired measuring and taking a survey of Yerushalayim. You won't get tired. Even if you'll go into the early part of the 20th century, let alone if you go back to the 19th century, Yerushalayim was not that big. It was a dusty, quiet kind of a village, of a hamlet. Today, you and I know that if we were to measure Yerushalayim, take a long time, Baruch Hashem. Yerushalayim has indeed expanded where it is, what, 3, 4, 5 times its size? And here in the Nevuah, he saw someone measuring. And so he says to this Malach who is measuring, so, V'hinei HaMalach HaDover, but he's talking to him. And suddenly Malach Acha, fascinating vision. All of a sudden he sees another angel. And the other angel comes running. And Vayomer Alav, and he says to the angel who's measuring, he says, Wutz, he says, run. He says, and I have something to tell you. And what I have to tell you is, Pozois Teshev Yerushalayim Merevodim Rebehem Abatecha. You know what Pozois means? Because Yerushalayim was always enclosed by a wall. And so he's saying to him, that Yerushalayim is going to expand outside of the wall. And it's going to expand in every which direction. And the Gemara in Bava Basra explains it. And the Gemara in Bava Basra says to us the following. It says that when Zechariah saw the way the Malach was measuring Yerushalayim, and he heard that that was the purpose of this Malach, so it says in the Gemara in Bava Basra that Zechariah was upset, but he was not the only one who was upset. Because it says that the Malach HaAsharis came to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Listen to the mother. They came to the Rabbeinu Shalom and they said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, what are you doing? You're sending down a Malach to measure Orka V'Rochba Yerushalayim? Lomudas Yerushalayim? To measure Yerushalayim? So they said to the Rabbeinu Shalom, look at the Unasoyla. Look at the nations of the world. Look at their cities and look at their capital cities. Are they told how far they should expand or how little they should expand? Are they told or do they ask permission of others as to how much they can build or where they can build? Do you send down a malach from heaven to make sure that you should know the dimensions of their cities? Menshom doesn't send down Malachim to see whether London is too big or Paris is too big. He doesn't send down Malachim. But Yerushalayim, he sent down a Malach. And so the Malach HaAsharis are upset. And therefore the Menshom says to them, you're right. Now, I don't understand that. The Menshom has a machshava and then he changes the machshava. We don't understand this. But our Chazal told it to us. And the Rabbeinu Shalom said, therefore you're right, I'm going to send another Malach. And the other Malach is going to rescind the order. And he's going to say to the first Malach, don't measure. You know why you shouldn't measure? Because there are no dimensions when it comes to Yerushalayim. Just as there are no dimensions Lamala, from the Yerushalayim Shlamata to Yerushalayim Shlamala, there are no dimensions here on earth either. you can expand and you can build and you can add. Kama sherotzim b'inim. As much as you want to build, you can build. Because they build as much as they want. Af Yerushalayim came. Yerushalayim also is that way. Of course, that Gemara will have to, and the Navi and the Gemara will have to teach to the UN, will have to teach it to the Palestinians, will have to teach it to an awful lot of people on the face of the earth today. But the best way to teach it is the way it has been taught. It has been taught. It's there. It's there. Baruch Hashem, before the leaders of Eretz Yisrael lost a little bit of their seichel, they had a lot of seichel. And their seichel was, you create facts on the ground. And so you have a Gilo, and you have a Pisgah Zev, and you have a Neve Yaakov. You're all over. You're all over. You go all the way up in every direction. Because the expansion of Yerushalayim Shalmata is perhaps as great as the expansion of the Yerushalayim Shalmala. Now that's what it means, Chubro Yachta. That's what it means. It is combined together. It is linked together. And there could be another pshat in the Chubro Yachta. What David HaMelech is referring to when he says, Ki'ir Shechubro Lo Yachta. And that could be what the Chazal teach us. The Chazal say to us, why does it say Chubro Yachta? Well, the word Chubro means to combine, means to link. But the word Chubro and the Shorash of the word Chubro is certainly that of a word that we all know, and that is Chaver, Chaverim, in other words, friends. And so it means that Yerushalayim has to have within itself and does have within itself the capacity to be able to do what Chazal calls she'oseh kol Yisrael chaveru. Well, that we haven't seen too much recently. But she'oseh kol Yisrael chaveru is the ideal of Yerushalayim. Unfortunately, in our history, we haven't seen it either. In our history in Yerushalayim, there was a tremendous amount of machlokas. In Yerushalayim, there was a tremendous amount of division. And I would like to give a reason as to why that is so, which I will soon do. But meanwhile, the ideal, Shechub Olayacha min she'oseh kol Yisrael chaver. Kol Yisrael chaver. And that's what we mean by Yerushalayim Hashlema. Yerushalayim Hashlema doesn't just mean geographically. Shalayim Hashlema means also socially. It means philosophically. It means even politically. And hopefully there is an agreement among most Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael even today. And even I think the Rosh HaMemshalah is moda that there is an overwhelming majority of people in Eretz Yisrael who are committed to the idea that Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and it means Yerushalayim Hashlema, not just a fragmented or divided Yerushalayim. I think that most Jews understood She'oseh kol Yisrael chaverim is the power of Yerushalayim, because that's why David HaMelech in another kapitel says, Ure'ei b'tuv Yerushalayim kol yemei chayecha. You must always look at the tuv Yerushalayim. Always see the good. Do not look at the chesronos. And if you will look for the tov, you will create the chavrusa. You will create, indeed, this oseh kol Yisrael chaverim. And then you remember what else is said in the pasuk. And then it says, shalom al Yisrael. If you do that, then there will be peace on Yisrael. And so, if we understand this, we understand the special character of Yerushalayim. And yet, let's be very practical. Today is Tisha B'Av. We know that the Beis HaMikdash was Chorev. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because, unfortunately, there was Sinas Chinam. It wasn't even a well-founded kind of animosity and hatred. The hatred, the division, the fragmentation came about for no real good reason. It's just that very often brothers cannot get along together. But is it that alone, or could it be something deeper than that? And the answer is it has to be deeper. And all of our Gedolim have explained it to us. And they've explained that indeed the division, the separations, that Yerushalayim, which is supposed to be Mechaber, somehow does exactly the opposite. The Yerushalayim between us and the nations of the world separates us. There we are divided. There we cannot come to agreement. Even if you sit down and you negotiate with your enemies, what do you do with the status of Yerushalayim? So you take the status of Yerushalayim and say, well, let's put that away for a couple of years. Because if we're going to start talking about it now, we'll never be able to reach any kind of a decision or conclusion or any kind of an agreement. So you see, between us and the nations. But even between us and us, you know, between Bnei Yisrael themselves, we know that Yerushalayim, unfortunately, is a stone on which our ship of state very often becomes wrecked and is split asunder. You look again in Zechariah. Find in Zechariah, and this you should recognize, because it's in Haftorah. Whatever is a Haftorah, people know. Most people, not those who go out, but most people know the Haftorah. So it says, Vayarini Hashem Yeshua HaKohen Gadol. So Zechariah says, I see Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. And the Satan is standing there. Satan is Satan. And he's standing there to do his job. Lesitna. Lesitna means that he's there to mislead him. Vayomer Hashem el HaSatan. So Hashem speaks to the Satan. And he says to the Satan, Yigah Hashem b'cha HaSatan. Strange, he has to tell himself. But he says, let Hashem cry out and shout. In other words, let him scare you away. That's really what it means in simple language. The Yiga Hashem B'cha HaBocher B'Yerushalayim. Now, I can understand if the Satan is standing next to Yeshua and he's trying to mislead him. So the Rebbein Shalom says, Yiga Hashem B'cha HaSatan. But where does this suddenly come in? The Yiga Hashem B'cha HaBocher B'Yerushalayim. But what the Navi is telling us is the following, that the Hashem who is Becher B'Yerushalayim, Hashem who chose Yerushalayim, it's HaKadosh Baruch who chose Yerushalayim for us. It wasn't just Shem Ben Noach, it wasn't just Avraham who chose Yerushalayim. It wasn't just David who decided that he's going to make that his city. And it wasn't just the Am Yisrael at a certain moment in history that decided they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash there, and Shlomo HaMelech did it. The HaBocher of Yerushalayim is Hashem. Hashem is HaBocher of Yerushalayim. But the Rebbein Shalom Kaviyochel himself knows that if he chose Yerushalayim, he chose Yerushalayim with its built-in problems. And that he's going to have to spend his time screaming and yelling and shouting and trying to control that special Satan. And which Satan is that? That is the Satan who is there because the Rebbein Shalom was Bocher B'Yerushalayim. Yigah Hashem B'cha HaSatan and HaBocher B'Yerushalayim. Now why is that? Well, I saw and I read and I see in many Ma'amorim. Most recently, I saw this said in the name of Rabbi Yosher Ben Zasal, but he is not the first one who has written about this, who has said this. And that is that the Ramban, way back to the Ramban, so the Ramban says that Kol HaKodesh Michaveroi Chorv Michaveroi. Whatever is holier than anyone or anything else. That means it has within itself greater seeds of destruction. The destructions of Chulbun are not built into Washington. It's not built into Washington. The destructions of Holden are not built into other capital cities. It is built into Yerushalayim. And you know why? Because Yerushalayim is Kadosh. And whatever is Kadosh, whatever is holy, always arouses a counterforce. Always arouses a counterforce. Kedusha arouses the counterforce of that which wants to destroy Kedusha, of that which is holy. Tahara always arouses the counterforce of Tumah, of that which is unclean, of that which is impure. Just like Yisrael always arouses the counterforce of the Goyim. We're learning now Nusach T'Psach. So we're learning about that. We're learning about the Nusach of Avdolah. Well, you don't need the Nusach T'Psachim to know it, but the Siddur knows it from Nusach T'Psachim. It's not the Siddur that said it. The Siddur knows it from the Gemara. And what does it say? Hamavdol Ben Kodesh L'Chol Ben Or L'Choshech Ben Yisrael La'amim. And it's the same Havdolah with Yerushalayim. And the Havdolah is because wherever there's Kedusha, there also has to be the opposite of Kedusha. That's Bicha. Wherever there is Oyo, it arouses Choshech. It arouses darkness. That's the way it works. It's built into the Teva. And therefore, as he puts it in one of his Ma'amorim, so he says, the stronger the Kedusha, the more determined are the counterforces of that which is unholy. The holy arouses and awakens and strengthens the unholy. Kol HaKodesh Mechaveri, Chorav Mechaveri. Because otherwise, can you understand? Can you understand? There are so many places on the face of the earth. So many places. Now, we know that the Muslims are a very strong force. I mean, compared to the Muslim world, we're nothing. Numerically, what are we compared to the Muslim world? I mean, their numbers, their strength, what they possess. Where did they build their mosque? Dafke, where did they build it? They could have built it also up north someplace in Eretz Yisrael. Could have built it in Negev. They certainly could have built it in other cities that to them are even holier than Yerushalayim. And yet if you want to have a picture in your mind today in this year of 1994, anyone who is an educated and knowledgeable individual, no matter what his faith, what his religion, and you'll say to him, where is the Mosque of Omer? He'll say, Mosque of Omer is in Yerushalayim. He may not know where it was built in Yerushalayim, but we know. We know where it was built. Didn't build it in Meishar. He didn't even build it in Bnei Brak. The Mosque of Omer is built on the Mokam HaMikdash. On the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mosque of Omer is built. Now why is that? Because Kol HaKodesh Mechaveri, Chorav Mechaveri. There's something within the Umos HaOlam, there's something within the nations of the world where they can figure out what is Kodesh, and they're going to destroy it. They're going to come on top of it. Why is it that the Jewish people want to have one little land? One little land, Eretz Yisrael. The Arabs have so many lands. The Muslims have so many countries. Why can't the Jews have one little country? One little land. But the answer is because it's Kodesh. Because it's holy. And because it's holy, because there's Kedusha there, therefore Dafke, the Kayach of Tumah, and the Kayach of Chayil has to come in and has to combat it. There's a strange kind of a special Chochmah that the Umos HaOlam have where they can detect what is Kadosh even when we can't. we can't. I'm afraid if you'll ask Mr. Balin or Mr. Sarid or Shlomo Saloni, if you'll ask them, is there a Sefer Kodosh? I don't think they'll say yes. On the contrary, they're doing everything they possibly can that it should be Kodosh. Is Yerushalayim holy? What are you talking about? Yerushalayim holy. That's why people will say, who needs the Eastern Jerusalem? Who cares? It's a dirty, dusty old place. Give it to them. Who needs it? As long as we have Dizengoff, and as long as we have what we need. Who cares about East Jerusalem? Who cares? They're going to tell you who cares. You know who cares? The Goyim care. The nations of the world care. They sense it. They read it right. They read it correctly. They know that it is Kaddish. And you know why? Because who whispers this into their ear? The Satan whispers this. The Satan tells them, you should know this is a special land. You should know this is a special city. And the Satan even tells them, not only a special city, but this is a special place. And that's where you build your mosque. That's where you build it. Yidha b'cha ha-satan. The Rabbeinu Shlom has to cry out and shout against the satan because he is bocha b'Yerushalayim. Now what's the satan doing there? The satan is there because he can appreciate and he can understand what unfortunately many Jews unfortunately do not even understand. Rabbeinu Shalom has a tremendous shaychus to Eretz Yisrael, you should know. And the shaychus that Rabbeinu Shalom has to Eretz Yisrael is because what the Gemara in Brochus tells us. And that's our salvation, by the way. Our salvation is that the Rabbeinu Shalom cannot ignore Yerushalayim. He can't ignore it. He cannot be indifferent about Yerushalayim. It's his place. It's his city too. Gemara tells us that Omer Rabbi Yechonon Mishum Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said, "Minayin Shachadish Baruch Hu Mispalo." How do you know that the Rabbeinu Shlom davens? Rabbeinu Shlom davens. He prays. Shenema. So the answer is, as it says, "Vavaisim Alhar Kochi V'Samachnim Bebeis Filosi." The Navi says, Yeshaya, I will bring them to my holy mountain, and I will cause them to rejoice the base philosophy in the house of my prayer. My house of prayer. Tfilosom leinema. It doesn't say tfilosom, the house of their prayer. It says tfilosi, the house of my prayer. Mikan shakurish bochum misbal. He davens. Someone wants to know, what does he say? Ma matzla, what does he say? So the Gemara tells us what he says. And then the Gemara brings that famous maisa that has been made very well known because we have, Baruch Hashem, some very nice singers today who put out tapes and who sing at concerts. And you'll recognize the Gemara. Because the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Pa machas nichnasti. L'haktek teres lefnai v'lifnim. Rabbi Shmuel says, I once went in to be maktek teres, to offer the incense. V'ra'isi, and I saw, as a word of Rabbeinu Shalom, Shehu Yoshev al kiseh ram v'nisa, he's sitting on his throne. V'yomar li, and he said to me, Yishmuel b'ni b'ocheni, says Yishmuel, my son, bless me. Bless me. Sounds familiar, yeah? I would sing it for you, but it's Tisha B'av. Now, before that, the Gemara says what the Rabbeinu Shlom davens. How does he daven? So listen carefully. He davens as follows, and we'll come back to Yishmael. He davens and he says the following to himself. Yihirotzei milafonai. We say Yihirotzei milafonecha. May it be your will. The Rabbeinu Shlom says Yihirotzei milafonai. May it be my will. Shiyich b'shu rachamai eskaasi v'yagolu rachami amidoisai. He says, may it be my will that my mercy and compassion should overtake my anger, that my rachmonis should be able to set aside the midah of din, of justice, ve'esnaheg im bonai b'midas rachamim, and may I be able to conduct myself with my children with the attribute of rachamim, the attribute of compassion. So when Yishmael says, or is told by the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shmuel is smart. He knows the tefillah of the Rabbeinu Shalom. He knows God's prayer. And so he said, this is what I said to him. Exactly what the Rabbeinu Shalom davens. V'yagul rachamecha midasecha, v'tisnaig im benecha, v'midas harachamim, v'tikonus lahem lifnim mishir sedim. Same thing. That you should only use the midah of rachamim, of compassion and of mercy, and you shouldn't use the midah of justice, and you should do things lifnim mishir sedim. V'ninei li b'roishai. It's hard to, it's kaviyochel. He nodded his head. He nodded his head. He says, that's a good bracha, because that's my tefillah, the Rabbeinu Shalom says. That's my tefillah. Well, we can understand. I suppose we can understand. But if the Rabbeinu Shalom davens, where does he daven? Apparently, I don't know. I would love him to be a member here in our shul and come and daven here. Maybe if he would come here, that people wouldn't talk so much. But he doesn't daven necessarily here. This is not his primary synagogue. The Gemara tells us where he davens. Ki beisi beis tefillah. That's in Yerushalayim. That's where the tefillahs of Hashem are. And if you'll say to yourself, but how can there be prayer and tefillah in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We pray to God. How can he pray? I mean, he prays. But the Svarim explain it. They say that all prayer has one purpose, and that is to bring the Oyah Hashem, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his spiritual light, which is called his ha'oras panim. That you know the expression. The Kohanim give us a bracha. What do they say? Yoyah Hashem panav elecha. What do they mean? Yoyah Hashem panav elecha. It means that let the spiritual light of Hashem shine upon you. Because when you bring the spiritual forces to bear, it impacts the physical material world. It impacts us. Just like Yerushalayim Shamalo impacts on Yerushalayim Shamata. What it means is the Ha'oras Panim is exactly what the Gemara just said. The Rachamei Hashem. God's compassion and concern for the world and for mankind. And what does that do? That sets aside the anger. It sets aside the din. And it gives us Ha'oras Panim. Because if the anger and the din is not set aside, what do we have instead? We have hester upon him. Then the Rabbeinu Shalom hides his face. And if he hides his face, then we are left to fate. And if we are left to the forces of fate, then Rahman al-Islam, we are lost. And all this comes through Yerushalayim. There you have the Beis Tefillah. There you have the Yerushalayim Shalmala. There you have the Yira and the Sholem. There you have the capacity to arouse the Chasdei Hashem and the Rachamei Hashem, which is supposed to work on us. Because if the Rabbeinu Shalom's Rachamim is brought into play, then our Rachamim have to be brought into play. And if we want his Chesed, we have to have Chesed. And if we want his Ahava, we have to have Ahava. And so ultimately, Yerushalayim cannot be Yerushalayim unless it's chubur lo yachad, unless it's oisei kol Yisrael chaverim. If Yerushalayim was a city that was yoshva vodod, it was yoshva vodod because chet chota Yerushalayim. It's because the Satan overtook us, and the Satan is powerful. Satan is still very powerful, unfortunately. If you don't believe it, just pick up the newspapers any day and read. Or read even the proceedings in the Knesset in Yerushalayim. And you'll see a Satan Marakeh. you'll see a satan dancing in our midst. And we say, Yigal Hashem b'cho ha-satan. You are Becha b'Yerushalayim. It seems only the Rabbeinu Shalom can get him a geshrei. You know, he could yell at the satan and say to him, leave, get lost. We can't do it somehow. That's why we have so many Tisha B'Avs. That's why. And yet, if we have a Tisha B'Av, and we fast, and we sit on the ground, and we wear our sneakers, it's supposed to do something to us. It's supposed to mean something to us. And so I end with a vote that I once said, linking it to a vote of the Kotzke. You know, we say twice a year, at climactic moments, we say Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim. We say it after Yom Kippur, and we say it at the conclusion of the Seder. There's a link. There's a link there too, there's no question. But that's not what I wanted to discuss. Someone once asked, and rightfully so, says, why do you keep saying Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim? I mean, you see that it's not happening. Not only that, but you see even you yourself are not doing it. If you mean it when you say Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim, Kennedy Airport is very close. Why do we keep saying Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim, Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim, and doesn't mean anything? Doesn't mean anything. That's also the Satan, right? And so I'll tell you, I once gave an answer with a vote of the Kotzke. They tell a story then in the Beis HaMedrash in Kotzk, in the Kotzke's Beis HaMedrash, that there was a Jew, a Hasid, walking around, and he was overcome with the Slavs. After all, he was in the presence of the Kotzke Hoif. So he was going up and down, and he was communing with Hashem. And he was saying, Oy tate tate, Oy tate, Oy tate. You know, he kept saying, my father, Avinu, Avinu. I mean, Yiddish is good, tate, tate. He's talking to God. So another chassid who wasn't very nice, not a nice fellow, comes over to him and he says to him, Umfumana veistu aselas dein tate. Says, how do you know that he's your father? You keep calling him father, father? How do you know he's your father? Good question. And this fellow is shook up, this chassid. He's shook up. And he begins to cry. And he runs into the Rebbe, and he says to the Rebbe, this is what just happened. What should I do? I say tate, tate to the Rebbeinu Shloim, and this man says to me, how do I know it's my tate? And I suddenly realize maybe he's right. Who says God wants me for his son? He says. So the Kotzke looks at him and says to him, Du shai tate, bisa vedveren dein tate. You keep yelling tate until he'll have to become your tate. He'll become your tate. If you insist, if you keep saying it. So I think the reason we keep saying Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim is we say to ourselves we're going to say it until it becomes so. If you can yell Tate until he becomes your Tate, then you say Lashon Haba B'Yerushalayim until it becomes a reality. We hope and pray that it will become a reality not only on a private personal level, but it will also be so for Ganz Klal Yisrael.